Well, good evening. Greetings to each of you. What a blessing to be here and to share this week with you. I bring you greetings from Word of Life. As Aaron mentioned, I don't think anybody needs any introduction of who I am. I've been here before. You know who I am. Maybe some of these young teachers that are new here have not heard me before, but it is a blessing to come and to spend some time with Aaron and Amy and the family and share with you folks here as well. As I think about this week, as I was pondering where I want to go this week, what I want to share about, I had to think, I don't want this week to be a long dread of a week. I recognize that it's a busy week. You go to church every night, night after night. That gets to be busy, so my goal is not to make it late nights, so that children can get to school and teachers, you don't have children that want to sleep in school or whatever that goes along with that. But I want to be respectful to that, but my desire here this week is to encourage you, to stir up your hearts to faithfulness in God. Again, as I pondered revival and thinking about what is revival meetings all about, what is the purpose of revivals, why do we do this? And as I just kind of thought through that, thinking about revivals and what they are. In revival meetings, it's a time when maybe the lost are found. Maybe someone, it can be a time when someone accepts the Lord Jesus as their Savior, the lost being found. I also believe that revivals maybe is a time when the weak are strengthened. Maybe a Christian who is struggling, and they're just kind of weak in their faith, and so revivals can be a time of being strengthened. Revivals can also be a time when maybe the struggling are encouraged. Someone who is struggling in their faith, maybe they've been a Christian for a long time, but just simply going through an experience, something they're struggling. And so revivals can be a time of encouragement for them. I also believe that revivals can be a time when the faithful are energized. So maybe you are a faithful Christian living in victory, and you know that person also needs revivals. They need energized. And so I don't know where you fit in tonight. Are you the lost? Are you the weak? Are you the struggling? Are you the faithful? But no matter where you are at, my desire is experience revival this week. That together we would all experience revival. My theme that I would like to kind of focus in on or hone in on this week is the idea of faithfulness. And I kind of used that term here several times already. But faithfulness. Before I go any farther, I want to see how good your memory is. So the last time that I preached here was in July of 24. Anybody have any idea what I preached on? Now, if you weren't here, you have a good excuse. If you were here, you probably still have a good excuse. Not. Anybody have any idea? And that's okay. I wouldn't remember either, if I were you. But I preached a message that was entitled "Faithful in All Your House," and it was a time. So at Word of Life, I'm kind of preaching through the Bible. I'm calling it a journey through the Bible, and at that time, it was right around when I was looking at Moses. And my journey, I'm still doing that. I don't know how long it's going to take me to get through the Bible, but that's a process. I'm only at, I just finished David. So from a year ago, I was at Moses, and I'm only at David. But anyway, I was looking at Moses, and I found several scriptures in the Bible about Moses that it talks about Moses. It mentions in particularly that he was faithful. And one of those verses, and we could call this our theme verse for this week, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 5. It says, "And Moses verily was faithful in all his house, as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after." So it said of Moses, the testimony of about Moses was that he was faithful in all his house. Now my question tonight is, what does that mean, or what does that look like? For a testimony of someone that they are faithful, they have been faithful in all their house, what does that mean? This week, we want to look at some areas that I just want to challenge us to faithfulness. And as I think about Moses, that was said of Moses. Could that be said of you tonight? That Aaron or Kevin or you put your name in there was faithful in all his house or her house. That is a high calling, but I believe that is the calling of each one of us to a place of faithfulness. Tonight is going to be maybe a little bit more of an introduction night. I want to think more tonight about the idea of faithfulness, and maybe we'll define faithfulness and what that means, and maybe kind of set a standard of faithfulness. And so tonight, if we want to have a title for the message, I would call it A Portrait of Faithfulness. A Portrait of Faithfulness. There's kind of three areas that I want to think about. First of all, faithfulness defined. We'll just kind of look at definitions of faithfulness. Faithfulness required, what God has to say about faithfulness. And then faithfulness proven. How we can prove, or what areas of life maybe we need to prove our faithfulness. And so, I don't know, I was struggled a little bit with a text for tonight. And there's just a verse in Proverbs chapter 20, and you may turn there with me. We're not going to really spend a lot of time here. But in Proverbs chapter 20, there's a verse, and it talks about faithful. It begins, the verse also talks here about the fact that we sometimes think that we're pretty good. You know, I'm pretty good. I'm a pretty good person. It also talks about the fact that true faithfulness is hard to find. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6, it says, "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness." Don't we tend to do that? We like to tell people how good we are. We proclaim our goodness. But he goes on and he says, "But a faithful man, who can find?" Implying that faithfulness is hard to find. And so my question again tonight here is, can faithfulness be found in Bradford? Is there faithfulness here at Bradford Mennonite Church? And I trust there is. I'm convinced there is. Matthew chapter 24, there's a couple of verses. It says, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant?" Asking the question, who is a faithful and wise servant? His Lord hath made him ruler over his household to give them meat in due season. Blessed is that servant, that faithful servant. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, find him so doing. Blessed is that servant who has been found faithful. Let's think about faithfulness. Let's begin by defining what faithfulness is. What does faithfulness look like? And so again, as I think about faithfulness tonight, as we define this, I want us to think about faithfulness in the light of our faithfulness to God. Now there's the aspect of faithfulness in our horizontal relationships, our human relationships with each other. There's that concept, or there's that aspect of faithfulness. But tonight, I want to be thinking primarily about our vertical relationship with God, our faithfulness there. Now, our faithfulness to God will ultimately affect our faithfulness in a horizontal level as well. But as we define this faithfulness, let's think about our faithfulness to God. So I went to a Bible dictionary. Bible dictionary would use the word trusty. A person who is faithful is a trusty person. One who is, you can trust. You can trust them. It went on that the Bible dictionary went on and says it's of faithful person is a person who shows themselves faithful in transactions of business, the execution of commands, or the discharge of official duties. Just someone who is faithful. Someone who you can trust them. They are responsible. Another definition, one who kept his plighted faith. He is worthy of trust. One that can be relied on. That was all from the Bible dictionary. Some other definitions that I came across from various different places. Faithfulness means a steadfast loyalty that isn't easily swayed. So you think about your relationship with God, your faithfulness to God. It's a steadfastness, a steadfast loyalty that is not easily swayed. Our faithfulness to God means that we trust Him, we love Him through all circumstances. It means that we follow His commandments, even when we don't want to, when we don't feel like it. That steadfast loyalty is always there. It's not easily swayed. Faithfulness is a steadfastness, a consistency, or an allegiance. It's a carefulness in keeping what we are entrusted with, what God has given to us. And we'll look at stewardship a little bit later. God gives us things. We are His stewards. And it's a steadfastness, a consistency, an allegiance there. It's the conviction that the Scripture accurately reflects reality. A conviction that Scripture accurately reflects reality. Faithfulness. Biblical faithfulness requires a belief in what the Bible says about God, His existence, His work, and His character. Faithfulness. Faithfulness is one of the greatest virtues of the kingdom of God. It is a consistent demonstration of loyalty, commitment, integrity in everything that we do. And I believe tonight that God places a high value on faithfulness because it reflects His character. God is the ultimate in faithfulness, and God is calling us to this faithfulness. A faithful person is one who is dependable, they're trustworthy, someone who God and others can count on. You know, we live in a world where inconsistency and compromise are far too common. But tonight, I believe that God is still looking for faithfulness. He is looking for faithful men and women who will stand firm in their calling and their responsibilities. Whether it's in a little or whether it's in much, whether it's in public, whether it's in secret, faithfulness means we will stay true to God and to what He has called us to. Faithfulness does not mean perfection. So it was said of Moses that Moses was faithful in all his house. Moses was not a perfect man. But yet, God still called him faithful. Tonight, faithfulness is attainable for all of us. It is not some lofty, high standard that we'll never meet. Faithfulness is possible. It does not mean perfection. Moses verily was faithful in all his house. Let's think of my second point here tonight, faithfulness required. I believe that God is looking, God is requiring faithfulness from all of us, from every believer. If we have named the name of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, He is expecting, He is requiring, He is looking for faithfulness. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Let a man so account of us as of the faithful ministers of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God." Let me just stop there. So it's talking here about stewards. Stewards of the mysteries of God. That steward, we, every one of us here tonight, are stewards of the mystery of God. God's plan of salvation, God's word, we are stewards of that. Then he goes on. He says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." God is expecting faithfulness from us. Every one of us here tonight, we are stewards. We are stewards of the time that God has given us. We are stewards of the talents that God has given us. We are stewards of the treasures that God has given us. That includes our abilities. It includes God's Word. It includes the plan of salvation. It includes the possessions that God has given us. We are stewards. And the call is that we be found faithful as a steward. 1 Peter 4:10 says, "Every man that hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." We are called to be a good steward, a faithful steward of the manifold grace of God. In Luke chapter 16, Jesus tells the parable of an unfaithful or a dishonest servant or manager, whatever we want to call him. But as he tells that about the parable of that servant, he concludes in this way. In verses, this is Luke 16, chapter 16, verses 10 to 12. He says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much." So he that is faithful with a little bit, if God gives us a little and we're faithful there, we will also be faithful with much. He continues on, he says that he that is unjust in the least is unjust in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust true riches? If ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Faithfulness in little leads to faithfulness in much. God tests our character in small things before He entrusts us with great things. If we are not faithful in the little, God will not give us the greater. A call again to faithfulness. Faithfulness in the little things. God is expecting faithfulness. God is expecting our best. In Colossians 2, verses 22 and 23, it says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but with singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. To do it heartily. To give it our all, to give it our best. Faithfulness means that we will give it our best. We will give it our best knowing that we are serving God, not just man. God requires faithfulness in all of life. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13, it says, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee?" So the question there is, what is God requiring? What does God require of us? And he goes on, "But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good." What does God require of us? God requires faithfulness. When I look at these things that it's mentioned here, I see faithfulness. God requires us to fear him, to walk in his ways, to love him, to serve him, to obey him, keep his commandments. God is expecting faithfulness in every area of life. It's not just faithfulness when we're at church, but it's every day in every activity we are involved in. Faithfulness in everyday life. Proverbs 28, verse 20 says, "A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent." God, I believe, desires to bless us, to bless the faithful. And so God is calling us to faithfulness. He's calling us to a true place. He requires faithfulness of us. My third point tonight is faithfulness proven. True faithfulness is proven when we stand firm with God, even when it's not convenient, when it's not popular, even when it means we stand alone. Faithfulness is proven when we stand firm with God. I believe that faithfulness is proven by our actions. By our actions. Faithfulness is more than just words that come out of our mouths, but it's what we do. It's our actions. In James chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, it says, "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, if a man say," he speaks, "thou hast faith, and I have works, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works." I will prove to you my faithfulness by what I do, by my actions, by my works. Faithfulness is more than talk. It's actions. We prove our faithfulness by what we do. Faithfulness is proven by standing firm during temptations. In James again, James talks about being tempted. James 1:12, it says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. When he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Do we endure temptation or do we cave to temptation? Faithfulness means that we will endure. We will persevere through them. We will be victorious. We will not cave. Faithfulness is proven by our standing firm, standing true in times of temptation. Faithfulness is proven during times of suffering. Job would be an example of this. We know the story of Job, how Job, he lost everything. He lost his possessions, he lost family, even his health. And what does it say about Job? In Job chapter 1, verse 22, it says, "In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." You know, if there was someone who would have been justified in turning his back on God, it would have been Job for all that he went through. But Job says no. Job, he didn't sin. He didn't charge God foolishly. Job proved his faithfulness during a very difficult time by standing with God. Faithfulness is proven by staying true to God's word during times of testing. In Psalm 119, verse 11, it says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Staying true to God's word, even when it's inconvenient and not popular, we stay true to God's word. That's faithfulness proven. Faithfulness proven is proven by our obedience to God. I had to think of a couple of examples in Scripture, and we could go to lots of places probably in Scripture. But in the book of Daniel, in chapter 3, we have the three Hebrew men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They find themselves in a multitude of people that the king is demanding that they bow down and worship this idol that he has set up. And in the midst of the setting where they find themselves, I could just picture everybody around them is bowing down to this great statue. And we have these three Hebrew men who, in obedience to God, would not bow. They remain standing. And this is what they have to say to the king. In verses 16 to 18, it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Faithfulness proven by these three men in their obedience to God. God said not to bow to any graven images, and they would not, they did not. They proved their faithfulness by their obedience to God. You can fast forward a few chapters to Daniel chapter 6. And it's now Daniel. And again, you know the story of Daniel. Daniel's counterparts, they tried to find something that Daniel was not faithful in, where Daniel, that they could say something bad about Daniel, and they couldn't find anything. And so finally they go to the king and they connive with the king to make a proclamation that a decree that nobody can bow to anything or anybody except the king. And what did Daniel do? In Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "And when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, it went into law. He went into his house, and his window being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day, and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." Daniel proved his faithfulness by obeying God, by continually, faithfully serving God. He knew it meant the lion's den, but it didn't matter. Faithfulness proven. I'd like to close tonight with a story about a man named William Borden. It was in 1904, William Borden graduated from a college high school. He was heir to his family's fortune. He was already wealthy. as a senior in high school. For his graduation present, William Borden's parents gave their 16-year-old son a trip around the world. As the young man traveled through Asia and the Middle East and Europe, he felt a growing burden for the world's hurting people. Finally, Bill wrote home about his desire to be a missionary. One of Bill's friends back home expressed disbelief that Bill was throwing himself away as a missionary. In response to that comment from a friend, Bill wrote two words in the back of his Bible: no reserves. No reserves. Even though young Bill Borden was wealthy, he went off to college. He arrived at the campus of Yale University in 1905, trying to be like just any other freshman there. There was a classmate of Bill's that made this comment about him. He said that, talking about Bill, he says, he came to college far ahead spiritually of any of us. He had already given his heart in full surrender to Christ. That was the testimony of a fellow classmate about Bill. Bill's years there at Yale, there's a lot to the story here, and I'm going to just skip over some things, but his life at school, at college, at the Yale University, it says, during his first semester at Yale, Borden began what would transform campus life. He began a daily or weekly prayer meeting. They would spend time in prayer and Bible reading. Borden's small morning prayer group gave birth to a movement that soon spread across the entire campus. By the end of his first year, 150 freshmen were meeting weekly for Bible study and prayer. By the time Bill Borden was a senior, 1,000 of Yale's 1,300 students were meeting in such groups. The impact of this one man on the campus of Yale University. His outreach didn't just stay on campus. It reached out farther. He ministered to the widows and the orphans and the disabled. He rescued the drunks from the streets. He founded a Yale Hope Mission. It also said that Bill would seek out the loners and those who were struggling and bring them, lead them to salvation. But Bill Borden's missionary call began to narrow, and it narrowed to the Muslim people in China. It said that although he was a millionaire, Bill seemed to realize always that he must be about his father's business and not wasting time in pursuit of amusement. In his senior year, he presided over a huge missionary conference held there at Yale. After he graduated from Yale, Borden turned down several high-paying job offers. And it was reported that Bill Borden wrote two more words in the back of his Bible, along with the words, no reserves. He wrote, no retreats. No retreats. Bill went on, and after he graduated, he went on to Princeton Seminary in New Jersey. When he finished his studies at Princeton, he sailed for China. Now, because Bill was planning to work with the Muslims in China, he first went to Egypt to study Arabic. And as Bill was there in Egypt, he contracted spinal meningitis. And within a month, the 25-year-old William Borden died. As the story has it, just prior to his death, as Bill was setting out to answer God's call, Bill Borden wrote two more words in the back of his Bible. Underneath the words, "no reserves, no retreats," he wrote the words, "no regrets." Friends, tonight, if that isn't faithfulness, I don't know what is. Bill Borden had no reserves. He felt God's calling. He was all in. There was no reservation. This was what he was to do. There was no retreating. He was set. His mind was fixed to answer God's call. No retreats. And as he's laying on his deathbed, he had no regrets. No regrets. Friends, tonight, faithfulness to God means no reserves, no retreats, and no regrets. The life of faithfulness is a life that pleases God. It's not about public applause or an outward show, but it's about consistently doing what is right before God, whether anyone is watching or not. Faithfulness is a mark of maturity. It's a key to enduring fruitfulness in our life as a Christian. Friends, tonight, this week, I challenge us to examine our lives and to recommit to being faithful in our walk with God. Is looking for faithful servants who will stand strong till the end. Friends, tonight, are you committed to faithfulness? Can it be said of you that he or she is faithful in all his or her house? Tonight, as we close, I'm going to ask for a commitment to faithfulness. Tonight, if you are committed to faithfulness, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet with me. We don't need a song to do this, but tonight, if your desire is to live a faithful Christian life, your desire to be faithful to Christ, can you stand with me? My desire, I want to be faithful. And I know it's not always easy. I believe that God is looking down tonight and He sees the folks here at Bradford, your commitment to faithfulness. And may God bless you for that response. Lord willing, as we go on here this week, we're going to look at some characteristics of faithfulness and what that looks like in maybe some nuts and bolts way. Thank you for your response tonight. Thank you for your attention. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you tonight. Father, as we look at this characteristic of faithfulness, Father, you're expecting it of us. And Father, tonight, we stand together in a commitment to this faithfulness, to faithfully serve you, to live for you, to stand with you. God, help us. Give us the strength to live out this commitment. God, I thank you for my brothers and sisters here. Father, I pray a blessing upon them. May you guide and bless us. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated, and I'll turn it back over to Aaron then. I believe there'll be a song.